Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking closely at a pretty charming piece of source material. It's a short children's story called The Pumpkin Patch Playground Magic.
Right. Seems simple on the surface.
Exactly. And you might be wondering, you know, what can we really pull from a story aimed at, like, 3 to 8 year olds? But our mission today is really to show how even very short stories, when well-crafted, pack in some pretty complex themes using really memorable images.
Yeah, it's about the narrative engineering behind it.
Totally. We're digging past the fun surface to see how it works, looking at the specific details that make it joyful, and, crucially, how it delivers lessons on, say, responsibility without, you know, sounding like a lecture.
Okay, so where does it start?
Okay, let's unpack this. It kicks off with a really classic scene. Farmer Jolly's pumpkin patch. You instantly picture it, right? Round orange pumpkins everywhere.
It's the stage. It's the resource pool, basically.
It is. And the whole thing gets going because of, well, a windy afternoon. Seems random, but it's key.
The catalyst. That wind turns a static scene dynamic.
Precisely. And the author gets straight to it, which is smart for kids.
Oh, yeah. Economy of language. No messing about. The wind blows and bang, you're into the fantasy. They don't really dwell on character intros or anything. The magic system appears right away.
Exactly. So what is this magic system? The story says the pumpkins, they began to wiggle, bounce, and roll until they rearranged themselves into a giant playground. And that's the core of this first part, the magic and the mechanics of how it all transforms.
And they don't just say playground, do they? They give specifics. Details are so important for making fantasy feel real, even or especially for kids.
Oh, they absolutely give us a blueprint. Think about it. You've got pumpkins stacked up high to make slides. Speed, height, right there.
Classic playground stuff.
Then other pumpkins are hollowed out, tunnels to crawl through. That gives you exploration, maybe a little hide-and-seek feeling.
Enclosure, yeah.
And then others are lined up like seesaws, so that brings in balance. And you need someone on the other end, so interaction.
Right, simple physics almost.
But the real centerpiece, I think, the thing that makes you go, wow, is this one tall pumpkin tower.
The tower.
Yeah, with a spiral staircase made completely out of vines.
That staircase is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Narratively speaking.
Yeah.
Why vines? It makes it feel organic, maybe a little wobbly.
Exactly. Not a sturdy metal ladder. It suggests climbing to the top, getting the best view. Takes a bit of effort, maybe a little bravery, too.
Right. If it was all just easy slides and tunnels, it's more passive.
Yeah.
The vines make the kids, you know, work for it a bit, invest in the fun.
I totally agree. The best spot is the hardest to reach, and the story shows it works immediately. The first kid we hear from, Mia, she just yells it out. It's a pumpkin playground.
The title drop.
Huh, yeah. And she runs straight for that vine ladder. That's proof the design works.
The structure itself invites you in. And it's not just the kids, is it? The story cleverly brings in animals, too. It becomes this sort of shared world of fun.
That's a great point. Tell us about that, because the multi-species thing really broadens it out.
Well, it shows it's not just a human thing. It's like universal joy.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone joins in based on what they can do. So you have squirrels zipping through the pumpkin tunnels. Perfect for them.
Makes sense.
And rabbits are bouncing on the round pumpkins like they're trampolines, using the shape.
Naturally.
But my favorite, I think, is the raccoons. They're riding rolling pumpkins like bumper cars.
Uh-huh. Yeah. A bit of chaos there.
Totally. Uncontrolled fun.
Yeah.
And even the birds get in on it, swooping through pumpkin hoops that have somehow formed in the air.
So it's this amazing picture of, like, collaborative, joyful chaos, everyone playing together.
Exactly. But if it just ended there, it'd be a nice scene, but maybe not much more.
The author uses this high point of fun to introduce, well, a problem.
Okay, so this brings us to section two. The lesson in responsibility and teamwork. The pivot point. Yeah, you built up this perfect magical system, and then bam, you ground it. You show it's not invincible. There's vulnerability.
And here's where it gets really interesting for me. The conflict isn't some bad guy showing up.
No external villain.
Right. It's a flaw within the magic playground itself. One of the components fails. The smallest pumpkin, naturally the most vulnerable one, starts to wobble right at the edge.
Oh, dear.
It rolls, getting dangerously close to the fence, and this is critical. It squeaks, help! It actually speaks.
Okay, wait. Let's pause on that. The pumpkin speaking. Why do that? Why not just have the kids notice it rolling and, you know, rush over?
Good question. What do you think?
Well, giving it a voice. I mean, that fundamentally changes the relationship, doesn't it? It's not just a thing anymore, an object or part of the playground structure.
It becomes a character.
It becomes a participant.
Yeah.
With feelings, needs, that cry for help makes it about empathy, not just fixing a problem.
Hmm.
It teaches that the source of their fun isn't just there. It needs care. It can ask for help. The magic itself depends on them paying attention.
That's a fantastic way to put it. So it's not just like fixing a toy that broke. It's helping a friend who's in trouble.
Precisely. And the reaction is immediate. The fun stops. Everyone, kids and animals, works together.
As a team. And the actions described are very physical, very grounded. It doesn't say the pumpkin magically floated back.
No easy fix. They had to push and pull and guide it. It's collective effort. Real teamwork shown, not just talked about. It takes coordinated work.
And the payoff for that work is instant, reinforcing the lesson, that reciprocity.
Exactly. The rescued pumpkin, what does it do? It beams with a clear golden glow.
Ah, visual reward.
Instant positive feedback. Caring pays off immediately. And then the pumpkin itself gives the moral of the story, basically. Yeah. Connects the action to the theme.
So it says.
That says, thank you. We pumpkins love being part of the fun, but we need friends to take care of us too. It's quite direct.
Wow.
And if you think about that in like a bigger picture way, maybe resource management or community, it's quite profound for a children's story. It says, recognize that things you enjoy aren't always self-sufficient. They need looking after. Fun requires upkeep from the people enjoying it.
That one moment, that rescue, it totally changes the kids' relationship with the patch, doesn't it? They go from just using the magic playground
to being stewards of it.
Caretakers.
Yeah, active stewards. Which brings us nicely to section three, the enduring magic and the core takeaway.
Right, the long-term intact.
So the story says, from that day on, they didn't just play. They started actively caring for the pumpkin patch itself. What was the result of that shift?
The result was that the magic became sustainable. And not just sustainable, but enhanced. The source is really clear because they took care of the patch. The next autumn, the pumpkins grew back bigger, brighter, and ready to create the most magical playground again.
So their effort directly fed back into the system. Resource investment 101, like you said, but told as fantasy. Exactly. The magic didn't just return. It came back better. It's a perfect loop. Invest pair, get a bigger return.
Simple, elegant, a positive cycle.
And this is where the story makes sure the reader, even a young one, gets the main points. It lists the takeaways. Teamwork is important for solving problems.
Check.
Responsibility for shared things, shared spaces is crucial.
Got it.
And, maybe most importantly, you need to care for the things and places that bring you joy. The joy itself kind of depends on your contribution.
So the big universal lesson here is that fun is better and it lasts longer when it's balanced with kindness and taking care of things.
Mm. The magic isn't just a passive thing that happens to you. You play an active role in keeping it going, even making it stronger.
Yeah, it's a shared responsibility.
Basically, the mantra you can pull out is pretty clear. Yeah. And it works for any age, really. Take care of the things that bring you joy.
And they'll bring even more magic back to you.
Precisely. It's reciprocity in action. You invest, you get more back. Which is, you know, fundamental for communities, for sustainability, for relationships, really.
So thinking about this whole thing, the pumpkin patch playground magic, it's way more than just a cute story, isn't it?
Definitely not.
It's structurally quite clever. It uses these really specific fun images, the vine stairs, the raccoons on pumpkin bumper cars, to deliver some pretty big ideas.
Yeah, it gently guides the reader from being just a consumer, someone enjoying the magic,
to being an active caretaker, someone who understands they have a role in keeping that joy alive, empathetic caretaker even.
Mm-hmm. Which leaves us with a thought maybe for you listening. Based on that core idea, you know, the magic growing back bigger and brighter because of the care it received.
Okay.
How do we apply that lesson of investing care in our own lives, our own resources or spaces that aren't, you know, magically animated pumpkins?
Interesting question.
Yeah, like if you have a project you love, or maybe a community garden, a local park, even just an important friendship, how do you actively care for it so that the joy it brings doesn't just continue, but actually grows, gets bigger and brighter year after year?
What's the intentional effort we're putting in now to make sure that magic, metaphorical or not, keeps coming back?
Exactly. Something to think about. What does that care look like for the things that bring you joy?